Good afternoon, everyone. Look, this is a paper that comes from some very recent work that John Jennings and I have been doing in Adelaide. And I sort of realised after I'd sort of put this together, John should really have his name on this first, because a lion's share of what I'm going to say is because of some of the work that John's been doing, and he also put a significant part of the presentation together. Lord Howe Island is a really special place biogeographically in Australia for reasons I'll explain in a minute. There's been a history of ad hoc surveys of the island, but most recently the Australian Museum, through Jerry Cassis, who is a hermiptrist then at the Australian Museum and is now at University of New South Wales, undertook a very major survey of the insects and other terrestrial arthropods of Lord Howe Island, funded by New South Wales National Parks. And for those of you who don't know, Lord Howe Island is one of Australia's 8 World Heritage Sites, so it has a special status from a conservation point of view. So Lord Howe Island sits about a bit more than a quarter of the way between the east coast of Australia and the North Island of New Zealand. Of course, for those of you who are at this morning's session, this is the Northern Hemisphere-centric view of the world as opposed to the Southern Hemisphere view. It's about 770 kilometres from Australia, 1,300 kilometres from New South Wales. And if you have a look at the geology a little bit more closely, Lord Howe Island and Norfolk Island sit on these subterranean rises that emanate from Zealandia, which is the continental landmass that New Zealand sits on. And the Lord Howe Island rise goes up, and New Caledonia sits on that to the north. And Lord Howe Island is the only land, the sort of above sea level landmass on the Lord Howe Island rise. And there's been a whole range of volcanic islands that have probably existed on both of those rises, which now are below sea level. So Lord Howe Island is the remnants of a shield volcano. It went extinct about 7 million years ago, 6.5 to 7 million years ago. It's relatively small, 10 kilometres by 1.5 with a 15 kilometre area. And the title about surveys and collecting in paradise relate to the island itself. It truly is an unbelievably spectacular island with two mountains, Lidgeburd and Gower, at the south end. It encloses a reef. Lord Howe Island is the southernmost tropical reef in the southern hemisphere, and it comes from, let me see if I can go back, it comes from the fact that the sea currents sweep down through the north coast of the east coast of Queensland through the Barrier Reef, and then they swing out into the Tasman Sea. So Lord Howe Island sort of really gets a mass of tropical water that comes through there. You're going to tell us 3 minutes to give us a 3 minute warning?
Yeah.
So this is what the island looked like. It's flat at the, or relatively flat at the northern end, the two volcanic cores at the far end. And of course, importantly, because it's a volcanic remnant, and the altitude, it has a diversity of habitats, which I'll just show you here. On the top of both Lidgeburd and Gower, there's really elven moss forest, and it comes from the fact the image on the right, the two volcanic cores really sit being covered by cloud for a significant proportion of the day. So it's extremely sort of continuously wet. There's a couple more shots of some of the habitats across the island. From a faunistic point of view, there's a huge level of endemicity, and of course, because it's a volcanic island, everything that's got there has got there by dispersal, with the exception of some of the unfortunate sort of man, sort of human introduced species. 42% of the flora is endemic, well known for Kentia palms. There are 4 species on the island, which is an extremely well known indoor plant that is now used worldwide. In terms of vertebrates, there's one gecko, a skink, and 2 bats, of which one is extinct. So that's the total vertebrate fauna. And then, with the exception of the flightless land birds of of which the Lord Howe Island woodhen, there's only one of four species that are left. The iconic invertebrate for the island is the Lord Howe Island phasmid or stick insect. It was endemic across the whole island. It was rediscovered after nearly 70 years on Bald Pyramid, which is a volcanic remnant about 15 kilometres south of the island. Really impressive, large, flightless phasmid, which there's now a captive breeding program to try and re-establish it on the island. And it got taken out by rats when they were introduced. The threats to the island, it's a litany of introductions, pigs, goats in the early 1800s, rats in 1918 from a shipwreck, mast owl is responsible for taking out one of the two bat species and land clearance and weed. So, you know, their impact on a island fauna has been phenomenal. But with World Heritage status comes a very significant amount of money in terms of readdressing some of the conservation issues. I'm actually going to get to talk about Hymenoptera soon, if some of you are worrying. There's been at least six insect surveys across the island. Lee, the director of the South Australian Museum, with his coleopterist, who collected quite a lot of material that A.P. Dodd described from the island. The Australian Museum conducted a survey in the 1970s. Jeff Monteith ran a survey in the late 1970s for which several species were described of Scilionids by Ian Galloway. Stuart Peck collected material in the 80s, which I got via Lubomir Mazda, which was described, and then in the early part of this century was this very major survey by the Australian Museum. But unfortunately, they didn't use the sort of collecting techniques that you would want to use if you wanted to survey the Hymenopteran fauna to any great degree. They didn't use malaise traps. They were sort of concentrating on species and funnel litter traps and things like that. So, which was unfortunate, but we still have a sort of a view of what's there. So really, John Jennings is responsible for really processing the information. This is simply the families that are present from the described fauna, not the total fauna, exclusive of ants, and gives an indication of the proportion that are endemic to the island versus those that are also found on the mainland. And Scilionids and Pteromallids come out as the two groups that have very high proportions of endemic species. And John has recently described, or in the process of describing, the first sawfly from Lord Howe Island, which is a Ziphodriid. I'll show you in a minute. This is from the recent Australian Museum survey. This is the fauna, the Hymenopteran fauna from the island for the most diverse families on the island, including the described fauna and everything that came from that survey that we've identified down to morpher species, and also an indication there of the proportion of species that have reduced wings, for which Scilionids, Diapreids and Pteromallids, Incertids come out having very significant proportions of reduced wing taxa. Probably not surprisingly. Of the families that are not present on the island, the two that are probably likely to be there that haven't got picked up are cynopoids, in particular some of the hyperparasitic species and aphelinids, because there's a quite significant scale insect fauna there. And you wouldn't expect most of those other families to be present anyway. In terms of the Scilionids, these are some of the species that have been described. The two on the left by Ian Galloway, and my interest in Bayine Scilionids, the spider egg parasitising group. I described a species of Myrobioides after Stuart Peck. This is a particularly interesting species because the genus, which is Australasian in distribution, has sort of Baius-like, wingless, flea-like females, but fully winged males. But the Lord Howe Island species has wingless males, which look almost identical to the females. So a real sort of classic island adaptation, and also Baius is also present. The thing that I got interested in was in fact the Dirichtine braconid fauna, and we've with Sergei Bilikobiltsky, undertook a generic level revision of the Australian fauna, and the Australian fauna has a high proportion of reduced winged eryctines, about 25% of species. And the wing reduction looks like this in these two images on the right and the bottom right and the top left, where the wings still have their significantly reduced, but they have a membranous component to the wing, and there's a couple of genera in both New Zealand and Australia that are truly apterous and don't have any wing remnants. So that's what the fauna looks like on the continent. And really, the whole purpose of this talk is actually to show you these photographs.
Okay.
This is a Spathius, a genus of Dirictines, and has reduced wings. But showing this to a number of colleagues, we've never seen anything that looks like this, that is covered with these very stout, sort of bristle-like hairs. And they are on the top of the head, the legs, dorsal surface of the metasoma, but they also cover the reduced wings, which are much more rod-like. So both the forewings and the hindwings are present, and they're covered with these hairs. So, and we have only two specimens, a male and a female, that show this characteristic, and they've been collected at different parts of the island. The female's been collected at about 200 feet above sea level, at the base of Lidgebirdius, which is the left-hand granite stack, and the male's being collected at low altitude down the far end of the island. So clearly these things are rare on the island, in that we've only picked up two individuals from the survey that the Australian Museum ran, but they're clearly distributed over the whole of the island and are coming from both slightly above ground vegetation in the case of the female, and from the litter in the case of the female. So if anyone wants to tender an hypothesis for the function of the hairs, I'd be interested to hear what you think. And just to finish up, this is the Ziphodriid that John has recorded from Lord Howe Island. It's nothing special in terms of what Ziphodriids look like. John's been doing quite a lot of work on Ziphodriids in Australia because, as you most of you would know, Australia, apart from the family Pergidae, virtually sawflies are absent from Australia, and it turns out that there's actually a moderate fauna of Ziphodriids that have radiated into parasitising wood-boring larvae, and John's recently picked up the first species from New Guinea, from New Caledonia, Tasmania, and now Lord Howe Island, and a series of species along the east coast of Australia. So, as I said, really, the focus of this was to really, of this talk, was to provide a bit of background on how special Lord Howe Island is, and to really showcase this bizarre new Braconid that we've discovered, and also this sort of Ziphodriid. So I'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Sort of true brachyptery in parasitic Hymenoptera, particularly in sort of leaf litter and soil, is really common across a whole range of groups. So whether they're functional in terms of they actually use them for sort of short ground flights has been reported for some groups. But for Dirictines, you and particularly for Spathius, there's a couple of hundred species or more in Australia. And they all show that sort of membranous nature of the wings, so possibly functional from that point of view. Yeah. Yeah.
So you said the island is about 7 million years old,
mm-hmm.
only, and you have already kind of very strange new genera developing.
Species, not genera. I think there's.
I thought you had the new genus, or did I write that wrong?
It's a new species. I mean, Spathius is a cosmopolitan genus that's really well known, so it's just a very aberrant species. So, but you see that across most groups of parasitoids. The Incertids and Pteromallids have a significant number of very reduced ring taxa as well. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, question.
So with respect to other hosts for Spadeus, what do you think those long hairs could be possibly, what function they might serve?
Well, I was hoping someone in the audience was going to tell me. I mean, we've given it obviously some thought. The island is very sandy, and it might be associated with sort of, you know, keeping sand grains off the surface of the body, but you don't see it in anything else that we've seen. One of my students made the comment, it must make mating sort of kind of interesting for males and females that have these long bristle-like hairs. I mean, there's not very much host data for Dirictines across the board in Australia, but what there is that none of them have diverged away from Coleoptera as hosts as they have elsewhere in the world. So our prediction would be that it's parasitizing, you know, beetle larvae in the litter and soil, and there's a huge endemic fauna of beetles on the island. So. Yeah.
Did you say there was or was not a large contingent of scale insects because of the apolinids being missing?
There is a fauna of scale insects, yeah. So, but I mean, then you know, if the Australian Museum actually talked to some other people about their trap design, I mean, it's crazy that they didn't use yellowpan traps or malaise traps, you know, and basically Jerry's a hemipterist and the rest of them were coleopterists that were running the survey, and large proportion of wingless beetles that live on the forest floor. And I think that's what they were sort of targeting, even though it was supposed to be a general sort of arthropod survey. Yeah, Matt.
Is there a plan to go back with lace traps, YPTs, and annihilate the place?
Yeah, I mean, it would be very difficult to do that and the trip not be called a complete and utter junket, I suspect, but it's high on our list. I mean, it's a truly remarkable place to go to. I mean, the island as a World Heritage Site, I've been there once quite some years ago. The island is part of New South Wales, but it's run independently by a board. There are no cars on the island. They've banned cars other than two delivery vans. Everyone rides around the island on bicycles, and the tourist industry, which is what the island is mostly about, they're limited to 400 tourists at any one time. So there's a place to visit either as a biologist or as a tourist. It's just spectacular. And the diving and the fishing are just remarkable. So, yeah. Yeah.
So Andy, you suggested there are leaf litters or current leaf litter.
Well, the male was taken from leaf litter, and the female was taken from just above ground level on vegetation.
The reason I ask.
I mean,
yeah.
For what that's worth, yeah.
Probably nothing.
Yeah. Thank you for the contribution, though, Bob.
John, it couldn't be here.